Hey folks, I just tried to go live on another system and for some reason it didn't work, so I am live now on this channel. So if you have any questions, please let me know anything you might have. So what we're going to talk about today is what in the world is the Fed going to do today? So we pretty much know that they're going to increase rates by 0.5%. So what exactly does that mean? Also, is the Federal Reserve going to stop at that point? We don't know. So I don't know how many people are going to join us today. I hope you join us because we have a huge live event, me and Kyle this evening, asking or answering all the questions that you guys have as first-time homebuyers. But what I do want to provide for you guys is context of what the Federal Reserve is going to do and basically the why behind that equation. So without further ado, let me get over to this section so you guys could see it a little bit better. All right, so I'm going to bring up my screen a little bit more. We're going to jockey and see what the markets are doing up into the point that the Federal Reserve announces what they're going to do. We see the Dow Jones up almost 200 points and so forth. But what we really want to focus in on is the inflation rate. So here's the inflation numbers on where they were or where they are. This report was just out yesterday. So I want to go through kind of the segments of the economy that's really heating up. And I'm going to basically move me out of the equation. So if you guys have any questions, please answer. You know, I'll answer anything you got. But we're going to watch this live as we see what the Federal Reserve comes out and does. And then later today, like I do on all my podcasts, is I'm going to dissect what they say. We're going to see the initial reactions that the market has. And then I'm going to dissect basically the transcripts that the Federal Reserve comes out with and tells us, you know, basically, here's what we plan on doing. But we know they're basically going to raise rates 0.5%. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean mortgage rates are going to go up 0.5%. It really doesn't mean, everything is going to get more costly. But the tough point here is it is going to increase rates. I'll take that back. I'll reprieve. Yeah, it is going to make things more costly. Your credit card rates are going to go up. What a lot of people don't think about is how this ultimately affects the markets. Okay, so what happens is with the Federal Reserve increasing rates, it makes the cost of capital for corporations more expensive. And we know things are already expensive on their level is already. So it's really putting them in a bad situation. So if you know your cost of everything goes up, and you think of yourself, you might have a car loan, a credit card, a mortgage, and those rates are, you know, maybe a little bit high. But think if you're a corporation having billions of dollars in loans, and now your rates have gone up. And look, we got to look at this. The Federal Reserve's already raised rates 5 times. This is going to be the 6th time. It's over 4% that they've raised rates. So just think if your rate went up. You know, think of rates in the past were 2-3%, and now you just increase those or almost doubled those. What happens to companies? But we also want to focus in on the segments of the economy that's really taking an effect on this. And we see right through here, eggs and a lot of the food and airlines and so forth. But let's get over to the stock market to see the reaction, immediately reaction on what the Fed does. And we're going to watch this and we're going to stay on this page. So if you guys would do me a huge favor, let me know where you're watching from. You know, just let me know the state. And then if you guys have any questions, I hope you join us tonight. Kyle and I, we do a live event for millennials and first-time homebuyers out there that answer any questions that you guys have. Because the biggest dilemma people have is, you know, I'm not the person to ask, you know, should I buy? You guys probably know my thoughts there. I think real estate is a wealth creator. I'm not, savvy on renting. So I love, you know, owning my own house. So if you're in that camp and you'd really like assistance trying to buy a house, we'd love to help. So we have so far Miss Silas. She is coming from Florida. So thanks for posting, Miss Silas. We'd love to have you here. And hopefully you join me tonight as well. If you guys have any questions, please ask them. There's going to be a little delay how the Fed reacts or how the markets react to the Fed, because that news should come out any minute now. I hope I have my time frames correctly. I tried to do a podcast on another a simulcast on another channel, and it just wouldn't let me. So my camera's acting up today, and it's just one of those days, folks. So who we got? And Illinois, but I'm a snowbird. So I'm a snowbird too. I'm heading actually to Florida next week for the holidays. We have Steve Hall from Idaho. Welcome, Steve. Man, you guys can't even see me on this screen, can you? Let me move me to the side. So what we're going to do is the Federal Reserve, what are they doing? What are they doing? Come on, folks. Come on. We need this market roll. Okay, so if you guys have any questions, Dan, it's me, Meech. Hey, I didn't even recognize you. What are you doing as a snowbird? So thanks for joining me. I don't know who's all going to join me today. I had this scheduled, but for some reason, my YouTube, I finally hired an assistant to help me with these things. So, but let me give you my thoughts. Hey, Tulsa. Hey, Dan from Southern California. So thanks for joining me, guys. So here's my thoughts on what's going on. And what, did I have this right on timing? Is they going to announce at 1 o'clock? Let me see here. Here's everything you need to know from the Fed. I started doing these about a year ago, the live events, so to keep you guys into tune what's going on with the markets. Let's see. Hopefully it should be 1 o'clock Eastern time, which would be noon my time, and it is noon my time. So let's see. Do you guys know when this is coming out? But let me give you my take on a lot of this stuff. And if you guys have any questions in regards to inflation and housing and so forth, please ask. But here's my context. I did a prediction video last year, and I didn't do very good. I'll admit that. I didn't expect the Russian war to last kind of this long. I don't think anybody did. You think, you know, let's assume if we invaded a very, very small country, how would that happen? You know, what would take place? I thought it would be over kind of like that. It hasn't been. So that's made a dramatic impact on energy and food. Okay. So that's what we're starting to see in this context. If you go through here and you basically see, you know, the cost of goods, how much things are increasing in price. Cause I like to dissect this and figure out why, what's going on. Should inflation cool? Should it not cool? So let's go through some of these. But again, remember, put some of this into context. We have a still a supply chain issue. We have major concerns in Russia and Ukraine. So that's creating havoc. I just got a new office, so we're decorating as we speak. So that's playing havoc on the market. I didn't expect the Russian war to go that far. I also didn't expect the Federal Reserve. I knew that rates were going to go up. My prediction was the rates were going to go up to about 5.5. I made some predictions at 4.5 and 4, but I revised that early in 2022 to 5.5. So I was wrong there. And I don't think, I actually, if you ask anybody out there, if they expected rates to get to 7%. I don't think you'd really have anybody last year stating that. Now, this year is a whole different story. The Federal Reserve is basically has everything out of control. You're seeing the stock markets going up and down like a yo-yo. But let's put some of this into context. I also predicted that I expected housing prices to go up in value. Yes, I was a contrarian. I said up in value about 5 or 6%. It wouldn't cap at 10, but it would be about 5%. Okay, so let's go back in my equations on, let's see if the Federal Reserve said anything yet. And I might be a little bit early. And if I am, thank you guys for joining me. And, you know, we'll ask some questions here because I will be live again this evening. And the market's still up 200 points. So I might be an hour early, but I greatly appreciate you guys being here. And I just want you guys to be aware that the Federal Reserve is making adjustments today. And that's probably why you're here. So my predictions are this, and I'm going to do this on a YouTube video as well. I'm not expecting a crash in the housing market. Actually, if you still go to some context that we have here in regards to charting, this is from Zillow. Zillow still has year over year raw data. From November of 2021 to now, look at these prices. I didn't even expect in my wildest dreams we would still have 20% or high teen percent in appreciation. I expected about between five and eight, maybe. I didn't even expect a 10% rally in home values. So this is what we've seen so far in 2022. So those out there that were saying, you know, we're going to have a crash, I don't know where it is because these are the top markets in the whole country. So it's not there. Even if you go over a month over month figure, look at this. We don't have, you know, you still have, hold on 1 second. Let me go to month over month. We got month over month. You still have 1% appreciation. You still have all that. Now, here's where you're starting to feel the damage. Okay. So you might say, Dan, I told you so. I said that, you know, the housing market's going to crash. This is basically a month over month review. So if you have San Jose down 3% in 1 month, that compounds out to like a 30% decrease. Well, that's hard to do but what you have to look at all the places at the bottom of this chart. Okay. You have California, North Carolina, Phoenix, Arizona, Los Angeles, San Diego, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City. Okay. Those are the biggest drops. Who was the biggest winner? Well, let's go over to this category here, year over year. You go down through here and you're going to see a lot of those areas are up in here. Okay, but they're starting to really come back down in these areas here. Because why? Well, they had appreciation in probably 50, 60% in the last 2 years. So giving back a little bit isn't a crash. It's basically a correction. So that's what I'm anticipating. I'm anticipating housing to basically be flat this year. I'm really not, you know, I talked to analysts. I actually talked to good friends of mine who are on the board of home builders and huge corporations. They're expecting about a 20% reduction, between a 15 and 20% reduction in the hottest markets in the country. And those are basically what we just laid out now. So, but you go into a lot of the markets, you know, other than hyping all the huge markets, a lot of the markets are going to just see stagnation. Why? Let's put this context into why. Okay. The why behind it is, people are not forced to sell. So let's look at the big differences for those out there that are afraid. You know, let me know. Hey, that guy Ray, thanks for joining me, man. You're in here all the time. So let me do a shout out real quick to the people that are joining us. We have Barry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We have Raina in Southern California. We have Steve Hall on. We have that guy Ray on. We have Taylor Parker on in Texas. Thanks, guys, for joining me. Hopefully you're here to get educated, and hopefully you join me tonight on my live event with Kyle. But let's go back to my basically predictions of what my expectations are for this year. So why will we not have a crash? Okay, so let's put this into two contexts. People are not forced to sell, okay, yet, maybe. Depends on what the Federal Reserve does. Okay, so why do I say that? Well, what happened in 2008, people were forced to sell. And I know you guys are tired of me, you know, talking about this. Like all the YouTube channels that every day all they tell you about is how bad the market is crashing. But we really haven't seen that market crash yet. So I'm just trying to give you guys facts. And I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but sometimes the truth might hurt. Hey, we have Vintage Star in Salt Lake City. We have RC in Stockton, California. Angelica in Houston, Texas. Labita in Detroit. Michelle Houston in Sacramento. God, you guys are jumping on board. Sorry, guys. I thought I posted a thing out there that says, you know, I was going to have a live event today because it's a Fed day, but I think I jumped in an hour early. My day is pretty hectic, and I'm sure you guys are as well. So let's get over to the housing data again. Okay, so I'll stop and I'll give you my context, and then we'll start answering questions. So housing, is some markets going to get hit harder than others? You betcha it's going to happen. But what you also have to take into context is, if you've been in that house for a year, you probably saw 30% appreciation in a lot of these markets. So if you give back 20% from where you bought, you're still up 10. Okay. But if you bought at the last minute, I was even on that bandwagon saying, you know, I wouldn't buy in the last 6 months. And why? Rates are too high. They've gone down 1.8% since the last 60 days. And then we have housing. Okay. People aren't forced to sell. Let's get back to that. They aren't forced to sell because most of the people in the country have a fixed rate mortgage. Most of the people in the country have a fixed rate mortgage at about 4%. So the jobs market is still robust. That's the Federal Reserve's biggest issue right now, is the Federal Reserve. Okay. They're like, okay, there's too much money in the system, but we really have to take a bite out of employment. But the employment numbers, look at it. The JOLTS index still has 10 million job openings. Okay, 10 million job openings. So as people lose their job, it's easy to replace that job. I'm not saying it's easy to replace it with the same income that you had, but it's an easy job replacement. You can get benefits, you can get a job, maybe wait for the recession to kind of be over, so then you can go back to maybe a better job. But people are not forced into selling yet. And I still continue to say yet, because the money supply, people still have, the average person, I don't know about you and me, we might be broke, but the average person has a lot of money, extra money still in their kitty. Okay. And that's still there by the consumer disposable income charts that we see in the M2 money supply, but it's dramatically, dramatically starting to pull back. Okay. That's the concern. So now on the other side, the Federal Reserve is saying, okay, now the next step is we're going to take a bite out of the employment numbers. So can they? And that's my reluctancy. But on that side of the equation, let's look at this. As rates go up, and the Federal Reserve has raised rates so far, I think five or six times this year, at an unprecedented level. So don't look at your own financials. Look at the corporate side of this equation, where corporations might be forced to start dropping people or laying them off. Why? Okay. Their cost of capital probably just doubled. Okay. So companies have huge debt. We know we're coming into a recession because 98% of economists and CEOs are telling us that we're going to be in a recession in 2023. So what does all this mean to us? Okay. When a recession usually happens is there's job losses, but we had tons of job losses during the pandemic and a lot of those jobs didn't come back yet. Okay. So that's a dilemma that the Federal Reserve has. Okay, so that's a big issue that we're going to face. What's going on with rates? Because that's another piece of this puzzle. Well, the expectations by the end of the year, and all the economists are basically not all, but a majority of economists are saying that the Federal Reserve is going to pivot. They're going to have to pivot. I don't know what they're going to do, but the expectations for the end of 2023 is rates are going to be around 5.5%. The average, and if you're new to my channel, you're learning a lot of stuff. But if you're not new to my channel, you're getting the same content that I give you a lot of times because it is relevant. Okay. So we go over to mortgage rates and rates should start to come back down. Okay. Because we're starting to see inflation come back down. How about gas? I drove to work today. Gas prices are, do you imagine, or can you believe they're half of where they were just 3-4 months ago? I know you guys know that. Okay. So if gas, one of the biggest components in the inflation numbers is basically down half of where it was. Okay. And then you also go to housing. We're going to go to the other economics here. Let's look at, here's where the most robust inflation is. You're seeing energy still up there, but you're seeing housing. Look at where housing started to drop to. Okay. So you go down through here and you see, rent for shelter up 7.2%. Okay, this was up dramatically. This was like 18 or 20% not too long ago. But some of the areas that are really being affected is because of the Russian-Ukraine situation. And it's food. Look at here, eggs, butter, lettuce, cereal, pet food, milk, poultry. Why? Okay, Ukraine and Russia are one of the biggest or probably the biggest exporters of fertilizer. So if you can't get fertilizer here, you're having a tough time as a farmer growing this stuff without pesticides and fertilizer and everything else that brings the supply of food down. Well, we know what happens when the supply of something come down. And even if the demand stays stable, what happens? Well, the prices go up. That's what we saw in housing. So housing was completely bonkers over the last 2 years. Now it's going to start settling down. So my expectations are for this by the end of the year, we're going to have some markets getting clobbered. Okay. What I mean by clobbered, you have to take it into context. If you're up 60, 70% in the last 2-3 years and you give back 10 or 15%, I don't know if I'd be crying because I'm still up a ton. Okay. Would the people that are going to be most hurt are the people that bought probably in the last 6 months. Okay. From here on out, my expectations are this. Let me get to the punch. House prices are going to be flat. People don't have to sell, but there's going to be a lot of inventory in the system from builders because they're ramping up or they still have a lot of supply there. You're going to have people in transition. You're going to have people downsizing because we're having a lot of our economy right now starting to retire. So you're going to have houses come to the market, and in a normal market, it gets gobbled up in usually about 45 days, not the 3 days that we've seen in the last 2 years. But it's going to take about 45 days for houses to sell. That's normal. And it's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm expecting basically the housing market to be flat to up maybe 5% overall. Now, again, some areas are going to get hammered. Some areas are actually going to go up in value, believe it or not. Okay. So that's what we want to work on in housing there. The rates, like I said, my expectations for rates are pretty much the consensus vote all around with everybody else. I'm expecting mortgage rates to come back to about 5.5% and basically stagnate there. Why? Well, there's a couple things there. And this is what I missed from my last year's prediction. What I missed, and I don't know how I missed it, is remember we heard, and if you're new to the channel and you're new to some of this real estate, did you ever hear the word tapering? Remember last year we kept talking about the Fed's going to taper. What did that mean? Well, what happened last year was the Federal Reserve stepped in. Well, the last 2 or 3 years, they stepped into the markets and they started buying up mortgage-backed securities, mortgage bonds. Okay. So what happens? Well, anybody that watches my channel, we know if you drive up the prices of the bond, okay, the mortgage-backed security bond, any bond, if you drive up the prices, what happens is it has an inverse relationship. It'll reduce your interest rates. Okay. So what the Federal Reserve stepped in and did is they were buying like $40 billion a month in mortgage-backed securities. They were pushing up the prices because they were spiking the demand. The supply was basically stagnant, but they're pricing, pushing up the demand and up prices. And that put rates at rock bottom, the lowest we've ever seen in history. Well, but remember, and I forgot this, how I forgot it, because I preach it to you guys every day. they turned, and now they're not only tapering, or they are not only not buying those mortgage-backed securities anymore, they're selling them, adding more pressure to interest rates. So what I'm going to do for you guys is I'm going to start researching where those numbers look like so I can give you a better idea. And we're going to come up with a video in the second week of January. I'm going to have a real estate roundtable with YouTube influencers as well. And I'm going to go over some of this on there as well. But the tapering effect is going to add the Fed selling mortgage-backed securities is also not helping mortgage rates. So it's helping drive down the prices and up the yields. So once they stop on that, and when that is, I don't know, but they can stop or pivot on that at any time. That's one area where they can actually stop their selling and basically stagnate the mortgage industry. So that's where they have huge control right now over mortgage rates. Okay, they're controlling mortgage rates they've never have in the past, but they've jumped in during the pandemic and they started buying mortgage-backed securities in droves, driving down interest rates artificially lower. So then what happens is when they stop, rates go back to normal and then they get artificially higher because the Federal Reserve is selling more mortgage-backed securities than even us as mortgage companies are issuing, adding more supply to the market with the same amount of demand or maybe even little demand. So they're driving down the prices and up rates. That's how they're completely controlling the mortgage industry right now in mortgage rates. So they can take their foot off of that pedal and help out the mortgage industry. But remember what they said back in the heyday. And let me take me off the screen because I think I got this wrong on what time the Federal Reserve on my calendar, what time they're going to do it, because we still have, the market's still teetering at two. We might even stay on here. If you guys are willing to stay on here until that time, I'd love to do that. Let me see. Hold on. Let me just make sure I'm not wrong here. Okay. So let me stop rambling. Let me answer any questions that you guys have. And then I'll go back to some questions. If you guys want to stay with me until we see what the Federal Reserve does, God bless you. But again, I will have another event later this evening. It will be 5 o'clock Central Standard Time. That is 6 o'clock Eastern, where we're going to have me and Kyle on here answering all your first time homebuyer questions. Plus we have a special guest with us today. If you guys want to learn about credit, we're going to have a credit person on here that's been doing it for 30 years. And I really want you guys to be informed when it comes to credit, because that's one of the big pieces of the puzzle when it comes to getting a mortgage. So let's go over to some questions. Let me see if anybody has anything here. I have one question down through there. So we have Florida, Illinois, Snowbird. We got this at the apparent time for you. I'm curious about the following: when get a breakdown mortgage, either 3-2-1 or 3 with rates. Okay, so let's go down through here. The first one we have is we have a question from Steve. Steve, get a buy down mortgage, either 3-2-1 or 2-1. What rate do I need to qualify at? You're going to have to qualify at the start rate. So for those out there that are like, what is he talking about? 2-1, 3-2-1. Here's a program out there that we offer. And what it does is, let's say today's rate is 6.25. I think that was the Mortgage News Daily rate for today. So let's say the rates are 6.25. So what you can do is, we actually offer a 3-2-1 buy down. There's a 2-1 buy down and a 1 buy down. So let me just make it simple. 3-2-1, what is it? Okay. So that means there's three numbers in this equation. There's 1, 2, and 3. So a 3-2-1 buy down. With 3%, 3 means is in the first year that you get your mortgage from us, the rate is going to be 3% lower than the final rate that you're approved at. So again, let's put this in context. Your rate that we get you is 6.25. Okay. So for year one, your rate's going to be 3% lower than that. So it's going to be 3.25. Okay. For 1 year. Year two, it's going to be 2% lower. That's the 3-2-1. Okay. That's the 2 there. So then your rate is going to be 5.25. Okay. In the third year, it's going to be, I'm sorry, I just went backwards. We started 6.25. Year one's going to be 3% lower than that. So 3.25. Year two is going to be 2% lower than that. So it's going to be 4.25. And my mind's going today. And then in the third year, your rate's going to be 1% lower than your start rate. So it'd be 5.25. Okay, so that's how that works. If you're interested in how that works, you know, please reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you about it and discuss that with you. But the rate that you have to qualify for is the final rate. So in that case, it would be 6.25. So great question, and a lot of people have that question as well. So we have that guy, Ray. He's on here all the time. I want to give him a shout out. Thanks for joining me today, buddy. Sacramento, Detroit, Houston, Tocton. Hello from Salt Lake. MF, that's my son. Hey, Marcus. Let's go to the next one. It's cheaper to eat out than at home at times. The best example I heard was if you wanted to make a bacon cheeseburger with lettuce, tomato, and onion and avocado, you would spend more on all that. You're probably right. I get most of my I'll cheat. I go to Costco and get a lot of my burgers and it's frozen. I love just the regular burgers, but we get frozen burgers a lot of times because we're in and out of the house. But you're right. And you could see that from that equation that we went over on here. So those are while we're just chatting. Here's the prices. And this is the inflation breakdown. Okay. Look at it. Eggs up 50%, 50% for eggs. Eggs aren't that expensive anyways, but you still have airfares up 36%, butter and margarine up 30%. Think about that. It's up 30% in a year. Okay. It's a crazy number, but the biggest components here are just food and energy. So that's what we really want to focus in on. Those are starting to come back down. Again, energy still at 13.1% higher than where we were. Okay, that is coming down. How many of you guys, you know, post on here. What is your gas? What's your gas looking like in the area that you're at? Mine was, we teetered on, we were just shy of $6. It was like $5.95 or $5.98. And then I got gas last night and it was $3.11. So almost half of where we were. Okay, so let's get to the next one. Michi, hey, we got Matthew Wilson from New York City. We just did our first loan in New York. So if you're in New York, New Jersey, love you guys. Please call us. Love to help. Michi, you were on my radio show a couple years ago, and we talked about some fix and flips and some other things. What about the no-doc loans? Are they still around? Yes, they're weird, but the tough thing here with the no-doc loans is the Dodd-Frank bill that came out years ago, and it came out basically when the world crashed in like 2008, 10, 11, came in, and it basically made a lot of products, especially no-doc products, illegal in some states. Okay, so now what happens is a lot of lenders, especially private lenders, they'll start modifying and creating their own systems. So we do have no-docs. The best no-doc actually for rental properties is what's called a DSCR. D is in Dan, S is in Sam, DSC is in cat, R is in rat. Okay. So what that is you qualify, basically you have to have a 620 credit score or higher. We need no financials, which is fantastic. I have several, probably a dozen of these going right now. We don't need any financials. So what happens is, how do you qualify? Well, the house, your investments is on an investment property. The house has to stand on its own. So meaning the rents that you receive from that property have to cover the mortgage payment 100%, okay, 100%. If it does, you qualify. And in most cases, you only need a 620 credit score. We can usually go 80 to 85% loan to value, and there's no hassle. You can also close it, why a lot of people are electing this, you can close it in an LLC. You can close it in a company. So if you have a property that you have in your business name, you have to take it. If you tried to refinance that into a normal conventional loan, you can't do it because you can't do a loan on a property that's owned by an LLC. So if you have that kind of property, this is the product for you because it helps you in all realms. And it just basically makes it that the house stands alone. The good piece about that is it's much easier to qualify. I just submitted a loan. Holy moly, where'd I go? I just submitted a couple loans today. And the people, one gentleman has like 12 different properties. You know how hard the finances are to do it on that property? So if you're an investor out there, the DSCR program is the way to go. We'd love to help you in that. Okay, so we got Chase. Please, guys, watch what you ask because I don't have a moderator tonight or today. So I just want to make sure you don't put any vulgar stuff on the screens. We bought a new house in August and got a 5.325 interest rate. We were hoping to be able to refinance when the rates go back down. What would you recommend refinancing? What rate? Well, it depends on how big your mortgage is, but rates are still at not 5.375. So believe it or not, there's that old rule of thumb where if you have to save at least 1% on your mortgage to make it make sense. Well, not in today's world, because most of the time you can refinance at very low costs. So we created actually a loan estimates system for you guys. So if you got a loan estimate from somebody, what we really focus in on is the cost that it costs you. But let's get back to your equation. you don't really have to save 1 full percent because closing costs in many states is cheap. Like I'm in Illinois, I think our title fees are like $700. So it costs you an appraisal in most cases, some costs, maybe $1,000 at most for the lender fees and that. Then you have title fees, and most likely the only other thing you have is an appraisal. So you might have about $2,000 in the system for refinancing. Okay, maybe $2,500. In the past, closing costs were $5,000, $6,000, $7,000. So you can see how it would take you much longer to recoup those fees. So what you have to do is also you have to check the loan amount. You know, is your loan $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 where just a little adjustment would save you a lot of money? Because for example, 5.375, if it's an $80,000 loan, you might not ever refinance unless rates get back to 299 or something like that. And I don't ever see that happening. Maybe not in my lifetime. I hope I see it in my lifetime again. But if it happens, the reason why is what you have to ask yourself is, why did it happen? Okay. And most likely the world crumbled and I don't want that again. So I'd rather have a robust economy, things clicking along, than millions of people dying and there's a pandemic out there. So sorry for the long answer, but that is my answer from there. So let's get to the next one. We got Mahesh. Would you suggest to buy down points to get my mortgage rate down to 5.7 to 5 for, hold on 1 second, from 5.7 to 5 for 7-year ARM, or just use the money to sustain the 2023-2024 refinance? I'm usually not a huge proponent of buying down rates unless you really, really have to, but great question. Here's my philosophy behind what's going on, and I'll give you the context, is I say we were in a recession, but the GDP numbers aren't there. The only thing that really is saving us from everybody coming out saying we're in a recession is the jobs market. And I still don't know how the jobs market is really going to, the unemployment rates are going to skyrocket because there are so many job openings right now. I don't know how most companies are working on shoestrings right now on their human resources. So how much more people can lose their jobs? Yeah, I don't know. But what happens is I'm focusing on it's probably a self-fulfilled prophecy. Now that you have 98% of CEOs out there saying that there will be a recession in 2023. Okay, so let's just put that in context. If you worked for me and I'm the owner and I'm like, hey guys, there's a recession on the horizon next year, we're going to tighten up our belts. You wouldn't really feel that comfortable, okay? You probably wouldn't. And we would probably stop hiring. We would probably stop if we were a manufacturer, we would start dropping our supplies of things that we need because we know things are going to start tapering down. So what does that signal to you? Well, that signals the economy is going to slow. The job markets are going to slow. What happens? Well, out of the five last recessions, five out of five, the average mortgage rate dropped 1.8%. Okay, so we kind of had a semi or quasi recession recently that some people said we're in. I'm the one of the ones that said we're in. But it's interesting because you can go over to, let me show you where mortgage rates are. And let me just pull up Mortgage News Daily. Let's see where the Mortgage News Daily rates are. And there's a reason for this. So let's pull this up. And go up to here. Where to go? Okay, so you can see on your screen right here. Look at where the mortgage rates are right now, 6.25. Okay, what I want you to focus in on is right here. Where were they? 7.375. So we're 1 1/8 lower than where we were just recently. So if we hit another recession, here's my question. If we hit another recession, or everybody finally admits that we're in a recession, how much more can rates go down? Okay. But the trigger point here is not a lot of people realize, and I actually forgot it is too, is the Federal Reserve, they're not only kind of raising rates, they're selling mortgage-backed securities that we just talked about. That alone is going to push up mortgage rates. So I expected rates to be, you know, 5, 5.5. That's why I'm still saying they're going to be 5.5 range by the end of the year. But we're going to have some bubbles on our way getting there. Okay. And that's basically my context. So to answer your question, I would save that money. I don't know how much it's costing you. You know, if it's costing you $5,000, $6,000, $1,000, maybe pay it. But if it's costing you, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, I probably wouldn't do it. And I would wait, you know, as long as you can pay, afford the payment at 5,700, there's probably not a huge difference, maybe 100, 120 bucks difference between that payment and the 5% that you were looking for. Okay. So there more context here is needed of how much that loan amount is. So let's go to the next question. I'll try to get through a lot of these. Let's see. Sacramento gas is still $4. Man. Did you guys hit, let me know if you guys hit like the, almost the 6 range in Sacramento. Michi, you're saying that you're 319. Cool, cool, cool. That's what I'm seeing locally here. Maybe can find 385. Wow. Yeah, you guys are getting Sacramento. You guys are getting hosed more than we are out here. Let's see what else. Let's talk. I own the land. Okay, Michi. Yeah, Michi, shoot me an email. If you guys want to reach out to me, my email is Dan. At theRateUpdate.com. Next question. I have one station at 328 and another. Isn't that nuts? It's like mortgage rates. One place has it at, you know, 6 1/8. The other one's at 7. All right. So let's see. We got, Dan, I just wondered if I'm wasting money on Experian $20 a month. Yeah, unless you really have it for a reason. You know, you might want to use that $20 a month to subscribe to something that actually gives you your credit scores and a little more details. I don't know what Experian offers you, if it's just like your scoring system, but there's a lot of other systems out there that are really, really cool. If you go to my YouTube videos, which I know you guys watch all the time, go down in the descriptions. I show you guys a lot of the things that I use personally. And I actually created a credit scores and more website to help those out with credit. So go there. You could find out a lot of things from there as well, but $20 a month isn't much, but it depends on what package you have and how much you're getting out of it. But there are other systems out there that I like, and I subscribe to 2 or 3 of them, and I really like them. They give me alerts, and they've saved my butt a few times on, getting hacked in my account. We got, Mako. Cheng from Minnesota. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Let's see what we got. We got another question. I just got a notice that Freddie Mac just bought my loan. I think they are selling low interest rate loans. House is the second in the twos. No, what happens is here's why your loan normally gets sold. The mortgage company that you had it with was servicing it. They might be in need of some money. Believe it or not, and you're probably seeing a lot of mortgage companies are in need of money right now. So they might be in need of some money. So what they do is they take a chunk of the mortgages that they're servicing, they sell them off. You don't have to worry about anything, because the reason is you signed a contract. So your mortgage and the note is actually a contract between you and whomever. And it's a contract, though. It's basically transferable. So no matter what terms you have, it cannot change at all. But basically what's happening is your mortgage note is just going from one place to another, and your payments are going from one place to another. That is it. Nothing materialistic can change. Can't change your payment, your term, your rate, anything. Due dates, nothing can change. So don't worry about it. It happens to a lot of people, and it's usually in times where banks are trying to shore up some money. I don't know of a lot of banks that are in financial troubles right now, like we also seen in 2008 and 10, where a lot of banks were going out of business, as well as huge investment firms. So we don't have that in our market right now as well. Are you kidding me? Let's see. Michelle, we saw 7% in Sacramento at peak. Whoa. We didn't hit the 7% range. We got up to just shy of 6, and I was just waiting for it to peak every day. I would just keep looking and say, did we hit 6? Did we? And now I'm probably on the way home today or tomorrow, I'll probably start seeing 299. So gas is half of where it is. So put that in context, folks. Where were we on the inflation? And energy is a huge piece of that. And where are we now? Okay, so if you look at the gasoline prices, how dramatically different they are today than where they were 2-3 months ago. So that's what we're starting to see on the inflation front. I still think the Federal Reserve's overdoing it. They're going to overdo it. They're possibly going to push us into I won't say an inflationary scenario, but possibly a deflationary scenario where there's too much goods and not enough people to buy those goods. Because again, let's put this into context. If the Fed does what they're saying they're going to do, and they're out there, we're going to inflict pain on you guys. They've already inflicted pain on the mortgage business and the housing market. Now their focus is on jobs. How they're going to do that is they're going to push up the price or the cost of capital for companies. And the companies are basically going to be forced to start laying off people. So then what are you going to see? Well, that's the conundrum that we're facing now. But let's also address one of the things that we see all the time on YouTubes and the media and some other things is foreclosures. Okay, so I'll give you my context on foreclosures or my analysis on where I think foreclosures are going to go. So let's look at it this way. Why does somebody get foreclosed on? Simple question is you can't make the payments, okay? And the other part of that is you can't sell it. Because if you sold the property, you owe too much money on the house that you can't get out of the mortgage. Otherwise, you would just sell the house and get out of the mortgage. Okay, so to get into a foreclosure, you have to owe more on the house than it's worth, and you can't be able to afford the payments. Okay, so in today's market, we saw in the last 3 years, many of our markets were up 30, 40, 50%. Okay, so if you bought your house and the value of that house went up 30%, okay, you probably have equity built in your house, so you don't have to, you wouldn't be forced into foreclosure, okay? So if we don't have those tons of foreclosures coming to market like we did in 2008, 9, and 10, then why should housing prices collapse? Because I don't expect us to have hundreds of millions of houses on the market like we did the supply of houses back then. We have people in the market right now that want to sell, want to buy, but the biggest piece is the selling. So people that want to sell, not a lot of people are forced to sell, but a lot of people are going to want to sell. And then we have the new constructions and everything else coming to market. So people are not going to be forced to sell. Okay. So that's one. Two, the majority, probably 80% or 90% of all mortgages in the country today are on fixed rates, and those fixed rates are 4% or below. The payment's never going to change. You might say, well, Dan, my payment changed last year. Well, yeah, you escrow. So your taxes changed or your homeowner's insurance changed. But if you don't escrow, your true mortgage payment, your principal and interest payment, isn't going to change ever. So if you want to just make sure your payment is always the same, don't escrow. Some programs require you to escrow, and it's a good thing to escrow because when your tax bill and everything else comes due, you have to pay it. But, you know, that's that. So my analysis here is housing prices shouldn't crash. There isn't a reason for them to crash other than people saying, well, they're up too high. But then again, we have the interest rates. Well, now if interest rates get to 7, 8, 9%, which I'm not expecting, could we see a crash? Well, we probably will have more buyer or more sellers in the market than buyers. But there's still, I'm not expecting, you know, I'm expecting in some markets to go down 20%. Those are the robust markets that have saw, you know, 30 or 40% a year over the last 2 years. Okay, so those are the only markets I'm really thinking are going to take a tank. So let's go back to your questions. Phoenix market forecast. I try not to forecast in areas. I appreciate your, Miguel, you being here and you're on here. It depends on where you're on Phoenix. If you look at some of the charts, if you're in what areas are getting completely hammered? I got actually that chart right here. Phoenix is on the brink of here. Let me just share the screen that I have on my screen. Here's what you're seeing in Phoenix. Let's just see what Phoenix did month over month, because that's really where you want to look at. But the biggest recommendation I can give you is reach out to a realtor. Okay. Reach out to a realtor. If you need one in the Arizona area, I'm sure I know somebody out there that could help you. Please email me. But let's go down through here and see at the bottom of this chain, where is Phoenix? Phoenix. So Phoenix is down 1.55% month over month. So even if you extract that out to a year basis, you're down 15%. Okay. If I'm in Phoenix, I take that all day long because I probably saw my house double in the last 4 years. So if I gave back, you know, 15%, would I be unhappy? No, I wouldn't be happy, but you know, I'm not seeing a crash. So I want to get off the crash thing because I have so many friends on YouTube. They're basically banning me at this point. They won't even return my phone calls because I'm on the other side of the fence and I'm not beating the drum for a housing crash. I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm here just to give you my educated information. Can we time when the real estate market will crash? I don't think it's going to crash. Let me ask you this. For all those channels that keep preaching this day after day after day, the crash is here. We're in phase 15 and whatever. Where is it? Ask them. I didn't say we're going to have a crash. Are we going to have a correction? Yeah. We're going to have a bigger correction in some areas than others? Yes. Okay. My consideration of a crash is 50%, 50 or 60%. That's what happened when you see, you know, here Wall Street crashed. you know, Black Friday and whatever, that's what happened. Not a 20% correction because we were up 50%. It basically crashed. Okay, so I'm not predicting a crash. Some markets will feel it worse than others. So that's what I'm going to stick by. And I'm not going to talk till I'm blue in the face, because if you want to just jump on those bandwagons, feel free to jump to those YouTube channels. But you might want to ask them, guys, you've been preaching, you know, a housing crash now for 2 years, 21, and then 2022, we started seeing those videos. Well, we're in stage four. Well, yeah, we're seeing some markets drop, but we just came up. If you sat on the sidelines this year, how much did you miss out on? What rate did you miss out on? So, you know, a year ago, you could have got a house that's 15% cheaper than it is today at a rate at 3, versus today you have a house 20% higher and rates are in sixes. So whose advice was the best for you guys? And I think mine might win in that area. So let's go to the next question we got here, because I want to go through all the questions we got here. I got two options for locations to buy a single family primary residency with 5% down and excellent credit. Northern Virginia, and then two, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Which one would be a wiser decision? That's completely up to you. I know both areas. Well, you'd put Northern Virginia. Actually, my sister and I have family members that live in Northern Virginia. Love it. Cost of living there is really expensive in some of those areas. Fort Wayne, Indiana is really cheap and a nice kind of, I won't say it's not rural, but it's a nice community where your cost of living is good and you'll know your neighbors, versus Northern Virginia. It's a huge broad-based area there. You're also talking the DC area, which is the cost of living there is crazy. So I would probably most likely go to Fort Wayne because I can afford that payment. Okay. So that's what I would personally do. So great question. But if you're a multi-gazillionaire and you have the money and you don't care, well, maybe get the one in Virginia. Next question we have is continuation. Northern Virginia is much stronger market compared to Fort Wayne. Again, yes, I agree, but you're going to pay for it. You're going to pay multiples for it. So what you have to look at is, if you spent $600,000 on that home, you got to remember, you know, in Northern Virginia, I don't know what specific area you're talking about. Let's just say we have a slight correction in that area, wherever you're looking at. Let's say it's 10%. You just lost maybe $60,000, okay? Fort Wayne, Indiana, I think you're going to have solid values, and it's a good price point that the payments would be very affordable. I don't know if are you looking for I think you said a primary single family primary residency. Me personally, it's a personal opinion. It's like, what kind of, you know, pop do you like? I like Diet Coke. So where would you rather live, Fort Wayne, Indiana or Northern Virginia? You know, I'm more of a rural guy, like low payments, like a community. I would pick Fort Wayne, Indiana, and that's why. So next question is, thank you so much for asking those questions. Wow, you got another one. Also, my intention is to scale up. Northern Virginia is good on opportunity, and Fort Wayne is cash flow. Yeah. So it depends on where you want to go. The tough thing is with $600,000, that's a hefty payment. You know, here's what I'd live by. And ask my kids, you can ask my family, you can ask my friends. I always say this: in your life, God's going to throw you a curveball. He's going to probably throw you a lot of curveballs, but he's going to throw you a couple that are really, really, really bad curveballs. And he wants to see how you act. Okay. So, in this, what I'm trying to say is life's always going to throw you some curveballs. Don't put yourself in a position where in that $600,000 house, if that payment gets out of line, you lose some work, you lose some income, something happens, you know, can you get clobbered because you can't make that mortgage payment anymore? Where $150,000 house, I mean, you're going to have a payment, it's probably $1,000 on a housing payment versus the other. Sock the money away. Maybe put in other investments, you know, whatever, something that's more liquid. But I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a financial consultant. I don't give any legal mumbo jumbo I have to give you guys is out there. I'm not recommending this. You guys are asking me personally what I would do, and that's my answer to those. Okay, so thanks for that question. We might be on here for an hour, and I greatly appreciate you guys being on here with me. What are the requirements for purchasing a vacation house? I have a home in Minnesota and thinking of getting a vacation home in Sacramento. Sacramento is the best way to do this. Is if it's a vacation house, consider it and call it, if you would, in verbiage, if you talk to somebody, especially if you call me, consider it or state it as a second home. Okay. It's the guidelines are much, much, much different, and they're much easier. There's less of a down payment, less credit score required, less of a lot of things. Because if you're buying an investment property, because if you deem this as an investment property, you're probably going to need about 15 or 20% down. If you deem this as a second home, you can probably get away with 5 or 10% down. A huge difference in that. Plus, it'll help you on your payments because how your mortgage rate is calculated, there's a whole bunch of pluses and minuses that go to a rate. So let's say the floor rate's 6%. So in your case, if you said that property is an investment property, that rate's going to be probably a quarter to a half a percent higher just because it's an investment property. If you deem it as your second home, it'll be the same rate. So you're going to get a lower rate, lower down payment, and a better program, but you're going to have to qualify with both mortgage payments. And if you can do that, that's the way I would do it. So thanks for that question. Let's get to some more of these. Again, the forecast in Las Vegas. So to do that, let's get over to my nifty difty chart here that we got. Las Vegas, you're getting hammered right now. I'm not hammered. You're down 1% over the past month, but let's get to see where you were over the last year. And if I'm telling you this, if you're seeing, you know, maybe a 20% return or in that area, you're probably going to see a 10 or 15% at least reduction in that. So let's see where we see Vegas. Do you see it on the screen? I don't even see it on the screen. You guys see it or am I missing it? Let me put on my cheaters. I know I'm old, guys. Can anybody point that out? Las Vegas, you saw a 5% increase in value in 2022. So there's probably not that much there to give. But Vegas, I think Vegas is going to be a volatile area, unlike some of the areas that, you know, like the last person who just asked a question about Fort Wayne. You know, Fort Wayne or Vegas, which is going to be more volatile? Vegas. But I'm not in the housing prediction market because honestly, nobody knows. You know, you can go to watch any YouTuber you want every day and they can be walking around the streets or doing whatever they want. We don't know. We don't know what the Federal Reserve is going to do. Ask yourself this. If the Federal Reserve today raised rates to 10% mortgages, what would happen to housing? It would crash. I would admit it would crash. Well, let's say they come back and say, you know what, we're going to start quantitative easing and start buying mortgage-backed securities because we see next year is going to be catastrophic. So we're going to start helping people. And mortgage rates go back to 2.99%. What would happen to housing? They go up in value. So nobody knows when they say, oh, the market's going to drop 50%. How do you know? Okay, and or would you be willing to put skin on the line? I can't even get people to debate me on my channel just to give me their context. So that's that. Buckeye, Arizona, and Kenecopa getting hammered. Buckeye, got it. Cool. So if you guys know areas out there, please join in and just tell people what's going on with some areas. I'll put that up. What about Worcester, Massachusetts? Guys, I don't know. And I'll be blunt with that. If I gave you an idea, it would be a 100% guess. I don't know your area. Even in my neighborhood, it's hard. What I'm trying to explain to you guys is it's hard to predict. You know, I'll share you with a conversation I had. I had a friend of mine. He used to be a CEO of Pet Boys. And now he runs this huge company and he sits on the board of some builders, major builders. I won't tell you his name, but he's a good friend of mine. And I had a conversation with him about 2 weeks ago. And I said, what is the builder's expectations in the market today? And he said, well, we don't really predict. You know, we just build accordingly to supply, demand, and so forth. So we're not in as bad a shape as a lot of these builders. But we're expecting our bigger markets, our you know, Phoenix, Arizona, our Austin, Texas, certain Denver, Colorado, certain areas like that, to have a pullback of 20%. That's about it. But across the board, we're expecting maybe about a 5% reduction in values across the board. Okay. So I'm going out on a ledge myself and I'm saying I think housing prices are going to be basically stagnant to up maybe 4% in 2023. Some areas, again, you're going to see a minus 15 or minus 20 and you're going to be like, Dan, you missed it. Well, no, I'm talking generality. I'm not talking, you know, a pinpoint on the map of a specific area. Okay. So hopefully that makes sense to you. We appreciate your input. Thank you so much. I'm trying my best. And it's just, we've moved, we've done some hiring, I'm changing all my systems. So we're in, believe it or not, we are in grow mode for 2023, where a lot of people are letting people go left and right. So let's see what we got here. Okay, I would not get a vacation home in Sacramento. Still overvalued in price or dropping as we speak. Maybe QT of next year would be definitely, you will be upside down 3 months. Thanks for that. If you guys you guys really can't connect on this video or my live event. What happens is this gets posted to YouTube afterwards. If you guys want to start, you know, have a conversation down below in the descriptions and so forth, please have that. And maybe you can share some ideas down there. That's why I love the open chat forum. So you guys can, you know, we can learn from each other. California is a market that will have a lot of problems because of the skyrocketing prices. I got to agree with you. I have to agree with you. I think most of the West Coast is way overpriced, and it moves its way over through Arizona and parts of Texas and down through Florida. So Florida up through California, a lot of that area has been, because it's coastal, a lot of that those areas have their prices bid up. But you know, you have to pay for where you want to live. Okay, so like Kyle always says, if I were to buy a property, how would I make that decision? Are you in a position right now with your job that you can do that? Okay, that's number one. Number two, can you afford the payment today? Can you afford the payment today? Okay, if you can, do you have reserves? Do you have 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses, including what that new mortgage payment would be? Do you have that in reserves? Okay, if you have all that in place, you're probably in a good shape. Okay, but if you're just wanting to buy, to get out or whatever, hold tight. Okay, because I think the spring market's going to be a surprise for us. I think at that time we're going to see rates kind of in the fives again. I'm starting to predict that, you know, house new constructions are going to start really finishing up then. So the spring market is usually the time if you're looking to sell your house, you put that on the market. So I'm looking at March being basically a world windfall of people being able to buy at that time. Okay, and again, my projections on interest rates over the next 3 to 4 or 5 months, we should be stagnant in this area. I don't see us going to 7 again. We should stay in the 6 range and move from 6 maybe down to the high 5s to mid 5s by mid-year. And then from there, it'll be dependent on what the Federal Reserve does. Because they keep their foot on the gas pedal, it might elongate the pain. But then after the fact, you're going to have huge opportunities. Okay, so that's where I'm sitting on the sidelines right now. Michi, excellent. Price is more important to me than rate. Okay, get it? I am also on the sidelines wanting to buy in Sacramento. Is there something in Sacramento that I need to know, or are you guys just out on the West Coast? Because I don't know, you know, I don't know much about Sacramento. Yeah, I agree. SAC housing market is crazy. I'm waiting to see how the market do next year. Cool. So see, we do have people interacting here. Chat between each other. That's awesome. That's what we're here for, to learn. My channel, guys, is a learning channel. I know it comes across as news, but I'm giving you the news to help you. And then what I try to do is, why did I give you that news? Why did we bring that up? I always ask why. And I want you guys to know the whys. Okay. Why did the market do what it did? Why are we expecting this and so forth? And that's what, you know, a lot of people, when they say, well, the housing market is going to crash or this is going to go on, I ask them why. And then they go on this tangent of really not really making any sense other than what happened in 2008 and house prices are way too high. People can't afford them. Well, people can't afford them, you know, but you might have to just downsize a little to afford that payment that you really want or sit on the sidelines and wait. But if you sat on the sidelines last year, you knew what happened or you know what happens. Indian all day. Good job, Samson. I'm in Illinois and I cut through Indiana all the time. I love it there. And the cost of living, a lot of people in Illinois live in right in the peak of Indiana just because of the taxes and everything. Good question and answer. I'm all ears. I believe Phoenix is negative year over year. I believe year over year. Well, the chart that I gave Phoenix, let's look at Phoenix, because the chart that I'm providing you guys is year over year, and this is from Zillow. So what do we got? Phoenix. We need to know what Phoenix is. We can't just have a state because that doesn't really work well. All right, let's get over to the next question. Let's get through these. And by that time, we might be, the Federal Reserve is probably going to be announcing here shortly. Let's see. The market's up 265 points. So the market's still rallying. Let's see what we got here. Colorado. Oh, sorry. Colorado new build contracts fall apart. Houses sitting along. Yep. In Colorado, that's what the friend of mine who I spoke to, they have a huge presence in Colorado. And he said the same thing. We're going to see probably a reduction there. They basically took about a 5% haircut on all their prices. So they 5 or 10%. They went basically across the board and just cut them 5 or 10%. And they're hoping it stagnates there or settles in at those levels. But again, a lot of this has to do with, like I said, interest rates. What would happen if the Fed came in today and said, okay, interest rates are now going to be 2.99 for all of 2023? You think the housing market would crash? Think again. Okay, so that's why we don't know what's really going to happen. And I don't have a problem telling you guys that because I don't know. And I like giving you the facts, but also being transparent when I need to be transparent. Absolutely. Do your own homework in your markets. Perfect, 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 perfect. Then we go to the next one. I'm self-employed. What's the difference on getting approved? Nothing. I'm self-employed. So the self-employed people, if you're out there, basically here's how this works. How does your income get factored? Well, we take your tax returns. It could be your corporate returns or a Schedule C, and we take your net profit. Okay, you can add back depreciation, maybe a couple other elements, but we take your net profit. We don't take the gross receipts because we have, for example, we have an Uber driver. This person makes about $175,000 a year in gross receipts, believe it or not. They still do well, but they only earn half of that, or they only really take home half of that. So that's the numbers that we use. So if you're self-employed, there's really not much of a difference. You need to have 2 years of tax returns. Okay, so you have to be in business more than 2 years to have two complete years of tax returns. So that's what we go off of. We average those 2 years or the last 2 years. Or if you've been in business for over 5 years, in most cases, we can just use your most previous year if that would work. So that's on the self-employed side. Other than that, the guidelines are exactly the same. And we got Miguel, own a company, 1099, tax over year, 2 years. Yep. So again, Miguel, on that one, you get your 1099 and then you file a Schedule C and then you put your gross receipts on there. So if you do not have any deductions, that's your income. If you do have deductions, then we take that income after all those deductions are taken out. And then we have Michelle again. I'm from Sacramento. That makes sense. So let's get over to it. It is that time. Hold on a second. Let's see if we can get something live here. Oh, that's not what I was wanting. Bear with me a second. That was down through here. So the Fed. We're still waiting, folks. So just stick with me a couple more minutes. You'd be amazed. Let me do this for you. I'm going to get rid of this channel here. And let's pull up here. You guys, let's see the reaction. So this is actually what you're seeing on your screen. This is the database or data forms that I have up on my screen basically all day long. And you're going to see right here when the Federal Reserve announces what they're going to announce, you're going to see these numbers start to move right in this area here and right in these areas here. You're going to start to see them move dramatically. Let's get over to CNBC or just some channel to see what's coming out because it is due in within 1 minute. So if you guys got any question, post them while we're waiting for these charts because I'd love answering you guys' questions. So again, we will be live again this evening. So please join us then. If you're out there, what I'd like to see is younger people joining us asking questions. Okay. How much money do I need down? What's my credit score? What kind of credit scores do you use? And so forth. I love the education piece of all this stuff. So let's see. We got drum roll, please. They should be announcing it any second. So let's get back over to my charts. You're going to see this start to move. So we have, let's look at it here. We'll look at the middle MBS. Middle MBS right now is 99.99. It's basically just, it was flat a second ago. They must have come out with something. It was down 3. Now it's down 20. Now down 22. Now down 25. You see it? Watch that number. It's moving. 27. Yeah, they must have made an announcement. Let's get over to the main channels. Fed raises interest rates 0.5% to the highest level in 15 years. Okay, so that's what we said. So what I'm going to do after this, I will be posting a video. I'll try to do it tonight or first thing in the morning. I'm going to dissect the Federal Reserve's notes. So what they'll do right now is they're going to do a Q&A session with all the media. They're going to come out there and read a statement. We're going to dissect that statement to kind of interpret what their future guidance is going to be. I will be posting their transcripts tomorrow morning with an analogy or basically putting that in common terms for you guys to let you know kind of what's going on. So based on all this, though, what are we seeing the MBS market doing? It's starting to crash. So this is going to start to settle. People are jockeying into positions. So this will start to settle. So maybe if you join me tonight, I'll be able to let you guys know where the market's finished, but I will come out tomorrow with the context of what exactly is the verbiage in here. What are they doing? What are they saying? And why are the markets reacting the way they are? So if you got any more questions, please ask them. I'll be sure to stay on here until every question is answered. And then as soon as that's done, I will be out of here. So let's see. 0.5, no Volcker move. Well, it's going to be get to be just a drag. Okay. So yes, the Federal Reserve did raise rates 0.5%. Didn't shock the markets, but the MBS market right now is down 20. It was down 3. Not a huge reaction, but a big enough. So we probably will see rates maybe move up 0.05 ticks. Nothing really to write home about. So, but all I want to do is thank you guys so much. Got it. I was just reading a text that I just got. Okay. So thank you guys so much for joining me. Hope you found value in my channel. I know sometimes I'm a little unorthodox with this, but I truly have a passion where I want you guys to have the facts. And that's why I kind of slowed down some of my videos. I'm not getting as many views anymore because I'm not jumping on that bandwagon that the housing market is going to crash. But what I can assure you, I will give you, factual data. I'm not going to make up anything. I'm going to give it to you as it is. So if you want the facts, please watch my channel. Hopefully there's some entertainment value in there as well. And I'm trying. So that's it. If you'd love to be able to find out more about me and my team, all I need you to do is go to therateupdate.com. You're going to find out what we do, how we do it, and everything else. So thank you so much. Bury the hatchet. He just announced, thank you, Dan. And we will conclude that for right now. So God bless, guys. Thanks so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.